Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with a bald-faced truth.
One of the most memorable interviews that we've done over the years was with a gentleman who's coming on next. The voice of Autzen Stadium, Don Essig. You hear his voice at the beginning of the football games.
Okay, fans, here's the weather report for today's game. It's 70 degrees, slight wind from the north, and some clouds. But you know the real weather report. It never rains at Autzen Stadium.
Longtime public address announcer at Autzen Stadium, the guy who wrote the book on doing it, pretty much, Don Essig, joining us. How are you, man? Were you playing golf today?
No, I was not. We had an appointment this morning, so Janet and I just got home in time to get the phone call.
Well, so I wanted to bring you on, and how are things going? Like, what's new?
Actually, I'm still trying to get over your story about the gal on the volleyball team. That's a great story.
For people who don't know, Don Essig, you know, you've been. How did you get your start at Autzen? I know I've written it, but let's go back through the story. Like, you're the PA guy. Everybody knows the voice. How did it start?
Actually, I was doing Sheldon High School games. Mel Krause was the athletic director. And excuse me a minute.
Yeah.
And Tom Keel was the football coach. Sheldon opened in 63. We went over to look at a riverboat at Mel's house, and he said, well, I need an announcer for Sheldon. So, and then in the fall, the next fall, he called and said, get your beep down to the stadium Friday night because we're going to be playing football at Civic. And that's how I got into football. So in 67, I'm teaching at Francis Willard School, and I get a phone call from Mel, and he said, the duck job's opening, and I put your name in, and you got a 3:30 appointment with Norv Ritchie, and go talk to him. So the three of us did basketball games, and here I am, just started 53rd year of basketball.
Basketball, amazing, huh? Basketball and football, you know, which of those two, I don't want to say which one you like better because people ask me that all the time, and I know the answer to that is that it just depends. But which one did you, when you started off, what did you want to be? Did you like the football better and then the basketball came along, or how'd that unfold?
No, there is no better.
Yeah.
Because I love them both. It's just, you know, people, they're very different, as you know, because basketball is pretty easy compared to football. Football, you know, requires a whole lot of concentration. And basketball, you can, you know, kind of enjoy the game and get into the game. But football, I always tape the game so I can come home and watch it and see some of the plays I didn't even see. I just announced. Because, you know, you just get so caught up with half a dozen pieces of information you got to give after every play, you know, your concentration really isn't on enjoying the game.
Don Essig. Yeah, go ahead, Don.
It's still fun. When it's not fun, I'll be out of there.
Well, I think, you know me, I love having you there. I saw you walk by the other night at the, I think it was the Washington State game and said hello to you, but love seeing you there and love hearing your voice.
Thank you.
Do you think, like, did people tell you growing up, you know, were you in the choir? Did they say, Don, you've got the voice of God, like you need to be a PA guy? How did that happen?
Not the PA guy, but when I was 8 years old, my dad was the director of the junior choir at our church, and I didn't have a choice. Wednesday night you got in the car and went to practice. You know, Sunday morning you went to church and sang. So, and I did a lot of singing. I did a lot of music at, you know, quiet down on this, but, you know, went to Oregon State undergraduate.
Yeah.
And I sang for 4 years in the Choraleers. So that was a lot of fun. And, you know, but, you know, the way I got into this crazy hobby of mine is walking down the hallway at Park Place School in Oregon City when I was teaching there in 61. Bill Farquhar was one of the teachers, and he said, you know, Dan Jones, the athletic director, told me they're going to put a sound system in the gym up there, and they need an announcer, and you got a pretty good voice, so why don't you call Dan and see? So really, that's how I got into it. So all in all, it's almost, what, 58 years now of announcing.
Is there a name over the years that gave you particular trouble, or how do you handle difficult names?
Well, if you wander into my booth sometime and look at how I've written out all the funny names phonetically, I don't try to learn them ahead of time. So, but, you know, fortunately, we didn't play Utah this year, so we have only had a few from the Samoan and the Hawaiians.
There have been big games at Autzen Stadium. You know, you look back at 50-plus years of being the voice of Autzen. What game or two stand out to you as memorable or big?
Well, of course, the biggest play was the Kenny Wheaton interception. And I've been asked about that a lot. You know, Jerry Allen's voice is the one everybody hears. But when that happened, I leaned over to Jack Pines, one of my spotters, who, by the way, has missed two games in 52 years for me. And I said, Jack, you know what? I think the black cloud may have just come off the roof of Autzen Stadium. Because up until then, you know, we didn't have very many lucky games. You know, we played well in some, but the first 20 years I announced, we weren't very good at all. But, you know, there's so many good games. That was a great game, too, though. Actually, the Washington State game just moved up in the ranks on the last Washington State game here.
Yeah, that was a big one.
I don't remember ever seeing a finish like that at any Duck game where we kicked a field goal. I remember the Notre Dame game where they kicked a field goal in the last minute and we had to tie. You know, one of Rich Brooks's 2-9 years, and we could have beat Notre Dame. But I do remember, you know, when the BYU guys came in here and they were with their arrogance and stuff, and they were thinking they were great for everybody at ranked number 4, and we weren't ranked at all, and we beat them. And then, of course, the Oklahoma game, the Michigan game here. And, you know, I think ever since the Michigan game, when the coach said that's the loudest stadium in America, it's gotten louder. But, you know, with the when they did the remodel and changed that roof line, I think the noise kind of went down a little bit. But you've been down on the field. You know that it's pretty hard to hear anything.
No, it's ear-splitting. And there's some stadiums that will pump in music or crowd noise.
Right.
That's not happening at Autzen. It's just loud.
No, we don't have to. Yeah. They pump in some music, you know, to get the fans going when the other team's got the ball, but they really don't need it. So,
don't.
What a great hobby, huh?
Don Essig.
Kind of like being a sports writer.
Voice. People ask me, what's your favorite sport to cover? That's hard because I just like good stories, right? I like good games, good stories. It just depends. Where did you come up? What is the genesis of It Never Rains at Autzen Stadium?
When Bill Byrne decided we wouldn't have any smoking or umbrellas in the stadium. So I'm doing the no umbrella announcement over a few games and a couple of years, and pretty soon it transpired. We got a 100-degree game, and I'm doing an umbrella announcement. And then it just kind of transpired into the weather report instead of an announcement. And, you know, we don't do the no smoking thing anymore because everybody knows that. And once in a while you'll see an umbrella pop up, but you never have to say anything because the people around them take care of that. So it just transpired into the weather report and then into the, you know, my typical dry sense of humor. Well, you know, no umbrellas, but, you know, it never rains in Autzen Stadium anyhow. And pretty soon it's, here's the weather. And remember, it never rains in Autzen Stadium. And now there's 50,000 people saying it with me.
Do you get people who come up and want you to do their voicemails?
I've got a couple that I've done that for. Yeah, not a whole lot, but. The funniest part of this thing, John, is Janet and I will be in Safeway walking up and down the aisle, and we're talking to each other, and all of a sudden someone will pop up and say, do you do the announcing at the stadium? I have no clue who they are. They have no clue what I looked like until they heard me. And that happens more often than you'd think. And it's kind of fun. I enjoy playing that role.
If we go back, you mentioned being an Oregon State student, and also Thomas Autzen, by the way, was Oregon State, and his name's on the stadium.
Yeah.
You've seen this rivalry have big games. You've seen it where it was dominated by one or the other. I like that both programs are respectable right now.
I think the Civil War game is going to be a lot of fun. And they got a great quarterback. I think he's doing a great job. You know, it'll be fun to watch them tomorrow night and see how well they do against the Huskies. But I think that game may be their Ducks' toughest game of the three they have left.
You know, our researchers tell me that you were not just on the rally squad at Oregon State. You were elected rally king your senior year.
Yeah, yeah. Tommy Prothro's only losing season, 3-7.
You were the rally king.
Yeah, and we came down to Oregon and played them, and they were like 7-2, or what did we play? 10 games back then. And, you know, if they'd have beat us, they'd have gone to the Rose Bowl, and we ended up upsetting them. We were 2-7 going into the game. And the students all stood around on the field afterwards and threw mud balls at us in our stands. But, you know, those are students. They took half our rally squad over and passed them up and down the their stands.
But, can't do that
anyway,
stuff.
That's the way college football should have been.
What do you think now when you see all the money that's in it, you know, the discussion about paying players and, you know, the likeness thing, and some of the innocence is gone. And I have to think in 50-plus years you've watched the whole arc of that.
Yeah, pretty much. But actually watched it from when coaches weren't making a whole lot of money either.
That's right.
And now, of course, it's ridiculous, but I don't know. In a sense, I think, you know, if the school or a company's going to put, you know, Justin Herbert's name on the back of a number 10 jersey, he probably ought to get something for it. But then on the other hand, I heard one of the Oregon coaches give his opinion, and he said, you know, when you start thinking about how much it costs to run a kid through a 4-year program or even a 5-year program at the university, and he's out of state tuition and everything else, you're probably talking close to $500,000 to go to school, and he ends up with a degree. So, you know, I don't know. I just think it's just going to be a real hassle. Probably going to be 100 court cases before that's ever settled.
I think back, and you've seen athletic directors, you've seen commentators, you've seen coaches, players come and go, and I think that you are part of the stadium. Like your voice is part of the stadium, and I think that it's so amazing to me that you know you call it a hobby, but it's not the same when you're not there. You've missed a couple of games over the years, but it's not the same when you're not there.
Thank you. Well, I do appreciate it. I get a lot of compliments from people, And a lot of people say, you know, when you're through and you retire, then I'm not going to any more games and all that stuff. But I really, it is fun. And the reason I call it a hobby is because it is a hobby. You know? And people say, well, you don't get paid for it. And I said, well, yes, I get paid. I get a real healthy ego trip. you know, we get tickets for Janet and her guests, and they take us on a few trips, and I play in all the golf events, and, you know, what the heck. How many people get paid for a hobby? Nobody. Everybody with a hobby, it costs some money. So, anyhow.
When you were teaching, because I know you started off as a teacher at Oregon City High School, and then you went down to Eugene, and did the students know that Don Essig would become the voice of Autzen? Like, was there a crossover there?
I don't think so. I taught elementary in Oregon City. I was in elementary until, 1978. Tom Paison's the superintendent, because I was principal out at Howard Elementary here in Eugene. And he said, you know, I've got a new experience for you. You're now going to be the principal at North Eugene High School. I thought, oh, boy, this is going to be a lot of fun. I tell people my move down in administration, because I gave up playing Foursquare at noon with the kids for parking lot duty. You know, needless to say, it was very different, but also it was a great experience. And I run into kids all the time. In fact, I had my teeth cleaned on Monday, and Stacy, who does it, was one of my students at North Eugene, and they have season tickets. And she said, yeah, we've been going. Nobody's ever announced different from you.
Yep.
Because she's like 51 years old or whatever.
I saw that earlier this year Sabrina Ionescu got to do like the pregame player thing.
She did.
How'd she do?
She and Ruthie, they did a great job. They were so fun. They were so nervous coming up there. But they did a great job with both of it. And here's the real Sabrina, okay? When they were done, Janet and I sent a note to them, and the athletic department just said, you guys are so really good about what you did, and your nervous didn't show at all, and I think the fans loved every minute of it. And then the other night, last week at the scrimmage they had, I ran in. After the game, I ran into Sabrina. She was coming out to do an interview. First thing, she comes up to me and she says, oh, thanks a lot for sending that note. I mean, like, she didn't need to do that.
Yeah.
But that's her. You know, Janet and I, for the last 5 years, have gone into the women's basketball games, just gone in on my press pass. And we sat in the end zone there by the bench, women's bench, in the general admission seats. Well, guess what? You know, I think there are about 7,000 season tickets right now. Pretty much the whole lower part of the arena has been sold out season tickets. And I thought, you know what? I think I better go get a couple. So I just put my press pass in my pocket and went over and got 2 reserve seats for the season. And they're in that same section. But I think they're going to be so fun to watch. It won't be funny.
Don Essig, love having you on. I know our listeners love getting that kind of perspective. I also love some of the funny moments that come out of being a PA announcer. You know, I can remember one game where a player just fell down. You know, I always say brought down by gravity. You know, what else comes to mind?
Or when O.J. Simpson tried to run around the right-hand side and in the pouring rain and slid out of bounds about 10 yards. And I said, you know, tackle by Astro Turf. And I got a few chuckles.
Yeah.
I think my favorite one, though, when we played USC, and I can't remember the quarterback, he was some hot shot, because they all are there.
Yeah.
But anyhow, he goes back, gets rushed, throws the ball, and it's halfway up into the stands. And I said, incomplete pass to section 25. And one of the guys at the country club who's an attorney, every time I see him, that's what he said. He doesn't say hi, Don, or anything. Just, hey, incomplete pass to 25.
I love it.
So,
Don Essig, thank you, man. Thanks for coming on and making time for us in your day.
John, it's always fun to talk to you. Keep up the good work, too.
And we will see you. I'll see you at the stadium here coming up a couple weeks.
You going to get down here for basketball at all?
I will. I'll get there for basketball. Yeah. It's too early for me to go to the basketball games. True early in the year, but a little bit more. I'm going to catch the games up here on the next Tuesday night, and then I'll catch some later in the season.
Well, you know what? Give me a call ahead of time, and we'll go have dinner together or something beforehand.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Don Essig.
And
Go
Ducks.
There you go.
All right, John. Thanks.
Appreciate you, Don. Take care. There he is, Don Essig, the voice of Autzen Stadium. See? A little different interview. I get Thomas Autzen on this show. Think about that. Thomas Autzen, Oregon State grad. His name's on Autzen Stadium, Oregon Stadium. Don Essig, Oregon State grad. The voice of Autzen Stadium. How about that? Mike Parker, the voice of the Beavers. He's a Duck. Just a lot of, what do we call that?
Crisscrossing.
Thank you. I was going to say it's incestuous, but it's not. That's not what it is.
You can call it intermingling.
Intermingling. You Thank you. The Hatfields and the McCoys, after all, intermingled in the end. All right, leave it here. The 2 at 2 coming up. Coming up, the 2 at 2, and then a investigative reporter who has uncovered a story that will blow your mind is coming up here in a few minutes. I love that interview with Don Essig. Anybody else like that? I don't care if you didn't, but...
No, he's a treasure. That was great.
He comes by the press box, comes by my seat almost every game, and he'll say, "Hi, John, how are you?" And it's his voice. You just whip around like, man, it's like the voice of God. But also, I had exchanged messages, and I don't think he has a cell phone.
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So I called his home number, and I left a very polite message on his home answering machine saying, "Hey, if today's a good day, let me know." And then I had you call him back. And how did that conversation go?
He said, "Well, this is the first time I'm hearing about it," because I said I was just calling to confirm the interview, and he's like, "This is the first time I'm hearing about it, but that should be fine. I'll be here."
Okay. Well, he made time, and he squeezed us in. All right, our 2 at 2. It's the two biggest things in the world of sports going on. We do it every day.
The 2 at 2.
Well, Antonio Brown is backtracking. After his rant, in which he said, "I'll never play again," well, he scheduled to meet with the league. In a profanity-filled tweet, he said he wants the league to clear his name. He also reiterated he's never going to play again. I got news for Antonio Brown. That's not up to you. The league's going to decide that for you. He said, "Imagine conforming to a system, giving it 100% to see me treat them like this. That's unfair. Making money off my sweat and blood. F the NFL. I'll never play in that bleep. Treat black people the worst. Clear my name and go F yourself." Why is the league interested in meeting with him? Like, they're under no obligation to meet with him. He took a similar stance in a since-deleted post on Instagram. Maybe he's trying to tell us that he's been kidnapped. Antonio Brown is kidnapped. What does he tweet or post on Instagram to let us know that he's been kidnapped?
A heartfelt apology.
Antonio Brown tweeted on September 22nd he will not be playing in the NFL anymore. Sources have since told ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that Brown hopes to have his playing status cleared up because he wants to sign with an NFL team. NFL's yet to interview him. League's waiting to do so. There you go. New USC athletic director Mike Bone says he will not make snap judgments on Clay Helton or Trojans football. One of his first acts on the job is going to be to evaluate this football program. But during his introductory news conference today on campus, he said it's too early to discuss anything pertaining to the future of Clay Helton's job. That's the right thing to say, but we all know Clay Helton is done. I felt it after Oregon's victory over USC. And there you go. Clay Helton, dead man walking. That's our 2 at 2. Coming up, Kenny Jacoby.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.